Good morning, Johnny.
Morning, Stevie. I guess I'm, in a way, pinch hitting for Randy Serling. So you can just call me the Manny Mota of the Bit Show.
Well, Andy, yeah, Andy's on his way up here for a couple of days, and I suppose he'll be. I'll head over to the sale. Sale's underway, by the way. I just sent out a link if everybody wants to listen and watch the first thing through the ring are broodmares. I figured let me get you in here because we got plenty to talk about. The Breeders' Cup preparations obviously now take precedent, and we'll have pre-entries a week to go from yesterday. I've already started to dig in a little bit to the advance contender PPs, you know, just to try to get a feel for some fields. And we're just right now kind of watching and taking in. There's a lot of jock announcements that we're getting, and etc. So what's your course of action over the next, you know, the next week and change to get ready for Cup?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic because, as you've mentioned several times on the show, it's difficult to wait until the last minute and just jump in. For me, it is to just jump into the PPs on these races because they're so challenging. They're so difficult. There are so many wagering opportunities, you know, that I think it's best to get some of the work. I say work. It's a pleasure. I enjoy doing it. But get some of it done beforehand so that you can spend more time structuring wagers, looking at the wagering menu, finding, you know, where are your singles, where are your value plays, how are you going to best use those to attack the multi-leg wagers or the exactas or the trifecta, superfecta, whatever your wagering strategy is, you've got to have one. Or it's best if you have one. Look, there are people out there who will pop open a Friday form or a Saturday form and handicap in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. They'll tell you who they like in a race. And they can do that, and they do well with that. I'm not one of those guys. I wish I was, or maybe I don't, because I do appreciate the journey. I appreciate the journey almost as much as the actual event. So I feel this way about the, you know, three-year-old season leading into the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont, and then also about Breeders' Cup. So I do a lot of preparation. Part of the preparation dovetails with us putting together Express Bet's free Breeders' Cup wager guide. If you've never grabbed a copy of this guide, do it. It's going to be out Friday, October 25th. Covers all 14 races, Friday and Saturday. You've got expert selections. You've got race analysis. You've got suggested wagering strategies, stats and trends. You've got handicapping angles, and a handy exotic wagering chart. There's a lot of stuff in there, and it's a great way to kick off your preparation. As I said, it's free at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, October 25th, and then we'll have daily updates beginning Tuesday, October 29th, and we'll have an updated guide, which will be available Thursday, October 31st. And the experts, again, we've got 16 overall, counting Eddie Olczyk and Brent Musburger, who contribute to the revised edition of the guide, the later edition that comes out on Thursday, October 31st. But beforehand, we've got 14 experts, one for each race, including Mr. Steve Bick. We've got Jeff Siegel, Millie Ball, Dick Girardi, Bob Neumeier, Ron Nicoletti, Stan Salter, Matt Dinnerman, Brian Nadal. The list goes on and on. Frank Maruli. We've tried to put together the best list possible of experts to give you and analysis and suggestive wagering strategies. Look, you know, it's nobody knows how races are going to turn out, but I like to read other opinions. I like to look at, especially if it's someone I respect, and we've tried to get the respectable people together so that when you read their analysis, maybe you'll see something that you might have missed in your handicapping. And if you look at their wagering strategy, maybe you'll say, you know what, that looks pretty good. I'm going to try a little of that. You know, just use it to, you know, accent whatever you're planning to do or not. There's always that possibility, too. But as far as my preparation goes, I like to, as far as putting together the guide, Jeremy Plunk does a great job with the stats and trends, helps us get the guide together. And I think the Breeders' Cup now, as an event, as an event itself, what's it been, 31 years?
More.
It's been around a long time. Let's put 84.
84.
Yeah. I was there that day. So it's been long enough so that event has now developed a personality. And within that event, the races, especially the original races, have developed trends. And anyone out there who handicaps football or baseball or any sports and uses trends, there are trends that make sense. That, you know, teams flying from East Coast to West Coast are, you know, do poorly against the spread. And the reason is because the short week and the travel time and the jet lag. And so that trend kind of, okay, I get it. Some trends are a bit silly. When this quarterback eats pancakes for breakfast, you know, his team is 14-0. Unless he had steak the night before, in which case they're 7-6. Or, you know, it gets silly. So, but I like trends. I like to look at trends. I want to know what I'm up against. For example, if you look, let's apply this now to a Breeders' Cup race. And by the way, all these trends that I'm working with will be in the Free Express Bet Breeders' Cup Wager Guide. So you don't have to write them down or get wrapped up in them right now because you'll be able to get the guide and read all these trends. But how they apply to each race is important. So let's look at the Breeders' Cup Filly & Mare Sprint. So you've got some trends in this race where last four favorites in this race have been out of the money. Now, how significant is that? Well, is that just a blip on the screen? Well, it's pretty significant to me because you're talking about the favorite in a race that's pretty well dissected. You know, so the money is, I'm not going to say it's sharp money, but it's not dull money. Everyone's looked at these races for quite a while. So for the favorite to be out of the money in these races, I think is a significant point. Three of the last four winners rallied from 11th or worse. Also, why is that the case? Well, this race is 7/8, and I think that's significant. Some speed fillies that maybe have racked up great records going 6 furlongs, a couple of them get together and they tangle going 7/8. And they set up a hot pace, and a closer is able to, you know, either win or get in the exactive. No wire to wire winner. Two of the last 12 leaders have been in the money. Again, hot pace, probably a bunch of sprinters in here. Now going 7/8, it makes sense. So I'm going to shy away from speed fillies and mares in this race. Three-year-old fillies in this race. I was a little bit surprised at this.
Yeah, that's 30, famous.
34 starts, 1 win, 2 seconds, 4 thirds. And what does that tell you? Well, it tells me I'm looking at Covfefe, who was absolutely sensational in her dogwood victory, won by 8 lengths, going 7-8 at Keeneland. She's a 3-year-old. She's a speed filly. She's a favorite, maybe. I would think so. All negatives. Now, does that mean I'm right away I'm going to throw Covfefe out completely? I don't know. I'm not going to make that decision now. But it sure gives me pause to consider my other options. I'm going to take a look.
This is a race we invariably have come to the last few years. The most recent candidate that, and I will distinctly hear Lafitte Pinkai III's voice on this, was Unique Bella at Del Mar, where we were all convinced that, you know, here's the breakthrough is going to come in this race with her, and it didn't. It wasn't until last year that we got the breakthrough. But not only, Johnny, are you dealing with Covfefe, but you got Bellafina and Guarana are 3-year-olds in this thing. I mean, that could be your try for all we know right now. I mean, obviously, Come Dancing is going to have plenty to say about it. But, I mean, you've got three very serious 3-year-old fillies vying for this, led clearly by Covfefe. And I'll tell you another thing. There is not a preponderance of pace pressure in this race right now on paper.
True. So that's why you take these trends and you analyze them. You see how they apply, and then you decide whether you're going to, you have to do your handicapping also. You can't just use trends. You have to do your nuts and bolts handicapping, like you say. You don't see a preponderance of speed in here. But I'd like to know about these trends because if there's a tendency to go all in on Covfefe, there isn't at this point for me. But I'm saying if you have that tendency to think that you were bowled over by that effort, which could easily bowl you over. It was an incredible performance. Just slow your jets a little bit and take a look at the overall character of these races is what I'm suggesting, basically. And that's how I like to prepare. Now, you say, well, that just confuses me. It gets me. Well, it could, but you've got to make a decision. At some point, you're going to say, look, this filly is favored. She's a short price. Maybe she'll draw the inside. On a deep track, which Santa Anita's a little deeper this year. You know, there are other things that can happen in the meantime. Maybe she doesn't look, 100% while she's training. All these things add up together. But these trends have piqued my interest to look in a different direction. And that's really, I think that's really what you have to do if you're a horse player, if you're a sports handicapper, no matter what you're doing. You have to think contrarian. You can't think like everybody else. We all learned how to handicap basically the same way. We all knew who's supposed to win the race. But are there reasons why that horse shouldn't win the race? Is the public overestimating that horse's chances in this race? And that's what you're looking for. And if I can find, versus, and I don't have the stats right in front of me right now, but I know they're there for the distaff. Well, that's a race where favorites do very well. And at Santa Anita, they do extra well. And so if I'm thinking that Midnight Beast, who, if I want, if I like the way the incredible year she's had, do I want to hang my hat on her as a single and work around her? The trends may favor her. And so in that case, I'm even more inclined to go in her direction if I like her. So what it is it's moving you. It's leaning you in a direction. And if you look at the odds and you say, this is a short price, but I've got all this evidence against it. I'd rather go the other way. Because if I'm going to play a favorite, I better have all the evidence on that favorite, or else you have to look somewhere else. You just, it's the way the game goes. Now, I think we've heard the term of protecting. You protect yourself with a horse, maybe you've got a lot of trends against a certain horse and you think, well, it's going to be a short price. I like the way the horse has been running, but I've got all these factors, drew the rail in a sprint or the workouts haven't looked well and there's trends again. Maybe I'll just use this favorite I'll just protect in a defensive way. I'll protect with it in just a very minor way, just so it doesn't, if my long shots come in the other races, I won't get killed by this favorite. But I'm going to go mainly in the other direction. So I find this all incredibly interesting. And between now and the Breeders' Cup, I'll drive myself crazy, or crazier.
Well, since you focused on the filly and mare sprint to start the conversation, I each time these things come up here over the next couple of weeks, I don't mind taking a couple of time for some early notes and some early thoughts, and that's what getting your hands on advance contender PPs, that's why you thumb through and you try to get a sketch mentally of what you're looking at. And I was surprised a little bit that there really wasn't a ton of pace the way this thing was shaping up. Minute to Stardom certainly is a filly that wants to be involved immediately. The horse that's coming in dirtied up and is there's already a false narrative about is Selcourt. And the early read off of that L.A. woman, where she got caught by Lady Ninja, is that she's maybe she's just lost a step since being at her at her peak, etc. Well, I will suggest everybody look at her record second off the layoff because she was gone since March. The fact that she got beat and got tired and got wobbly late, I'm not going to completely hold that against her. But she has repeatedly run big second off the layoff. So some of this with Sadler is by design. And if she runs the kind of race she ran in the Santa Monica, she can win this. And I guarantee you, she's going to be shunted down in the betting come filly and mare sprint time.
Well, she will add to the pace picture because she's got one way to go.
Yeah.
And so, the draw for these kinds of fillies, for any kinds of horses, the sprinters, the draw is important because, she would want to be outside of Kafesi to begin, I think, because Selcourt is going. I mean, she's a California-based speedster. And if Kafefi's as fast as we've seen her, and she draws inside and they go and they battle head-to-head, there's your pace. These big races, sometimes you don't see pace. But just like in the Derby, I think, similar. Not exactly, but similar. On the big days, when the crowd's there and the jocks are pumped and everybody's on edge, you often get fair pace in races. And in the sprints, you'll get a sizzling pace. So even if it doesn't appear to be, those two alone guarantee, I think, a hot pace. So it'll be interesting. I mean, this is why we look at this. She's Selcourt is on her home field, love Santa Anita. The distance, maybe 7/8, stretching her ability a little bit. Probably not her favorite distance, but she's fast. She is real fast. It's going to be fun. That'd be fun. You know, the other race, and it was interesting, a little scary this morning, because I was, you talked to me about the thumbing through the races, and I did a little looking at the BC Classic yesterday, and a little bit of a dive, not a complete deep dive, but a pretty decent dive. And I wrote at the top of a page, or screen, I guess, where's the speed? With a question mark. And then I noticed this morning that that our man Luch sent out a tweet that said, where's the speed in the Classic? And it frightened me, because now I'm starting to think like Luch.
I could be in trouble. That's dangerous territory.
It is a great point that you look at it, and I thought to myself as I was going through the race, you know what? Baffert will do this. He'll put McKenzie on the lead. Again, draw has a lot to do with it. Maybe he'll put McKenzie on the lead and say, okay, come catch him. You know, he certainly didn't like chasing Mongolian.
Groom.
He didn't like chasing Mongolian Groom the other day. So maybe he'll say, come get McKenzie this time. But anyway, as you talk about thumbing through races, you get a feel for what's going on. You get a feel for the race. You get a feel for who's in there, who's, as you said, jocks. It's tough without post position to make any firm decisions, predictions about how the race will be run. That's important. You know, people say, oh, the post position draw is not that important. No, it's very important. Very important. It's more important for some horses than others. It's more important for some matchups than other matchups. In other words, if you got a deep closer, well, you know you're going to be dropping back. You'd like to be inside so you don't have to get over, but you're going to be dropping back. If you've got a speed horse, man, who's outside of me? Who's inside of me? Who else is going to go? Am I going to be caught wide? Do I have enough speed to clear? There's so many questions. It really does, you know, and that has a lot to do with who you pick in the race. So, again, I always say don't make any decisions in this time frame here. Even though you fell in love with the way a horse won a prep race, oh, it was incredible. Oh, look at that horse stride out. He looks great. Yes, okay, keep that in mind. But don't say I'm all over that horse in the Breeders' Cup. You got to look at everything. Now, I know somebody's going to say, yeah, I love that horse till you said the weight. I would have bet on him, but I picked another horse. You made me lose it, Ben.
That'll happen.
We made one person happy because there's a tweet we got. He didn't want to hear us talk about the Eagles on Monday. So he got his wish. We didn't talk about the Eagles. We'll talk about them on Tuesday.
I missed that. I didn't see that. I missed that tweet. Well, and speaking of the Classic too, let me slip in all the various news items as they have happened over the last 24 to 48 hours. And that includes Safi Joseph saying yes with Math Wizard. He's a go. And then yesterday, Brad Cox, who we met, actually, Brad was going to join us late in the day yesterday with that Owendale news, but Owendale is a participant. And as I mentioned at the top of the show regarding Owendale, in fact, tied to him somewhat, the Florent Giroux situation. And we're, you know, wishing the best for him. But, I mean, I've bruised my sternum. So I can only imagine, you know, what a fracture in the sternum, what that's got to be. You know, in terms of pain and discomfort for a jock. So we'll see what happens with Giroux. But there's your classic for now, and pending any other any other movement. McKinsey, Vino Rosso, Code of Honor, a late Yoshita, Higher Power, Mongolian Room, Seeking the Soul, Math Wizard, War of Will, and Owendale. And I haven't heard any tax update or tax news, although today is Extension Day, October 15th. And by the way, speaking of October 15th, again, a reminder, Breeders' Cup, $400 full nomination deadline today. Go to the website, go to Breeders' Cup, and follow the nomination tab. And for $400, you will not spend a better $400 for any, even the foals that you think won't ever possibly. Don't think that way. And if you're selling that Breeders' Cup nomination added to your foals page, that's a winner. That helps. Don't skimp on this. $400, well spent today. Breeders' Cup full nominations, and it'll never be the rest of his or her life as a racehorse. It won't ever be cheaper than it is today for $400. So nominate your foal, Johnny.
If I had one, I would. I believe. I swear to you. If I had one, it's the first thing I'd do when I hang up. You know, you mentioned the classic, and I'll just run down some trends for people so they have an idea of what kind of stuff is available in the guide. The last four winners of the classic have been 5-2 or less. The last five in California, I found this one rather interesting. Maybe you could explain it to me. The last five Breeders' Cup classics in California, so that would be 4 at Santa Anita and 1 at Del Mar. 4 winners were prepped in the East. 2013 was the only West Coast prepped runner. I thought that was kind of interesting because usually you think of, you know, California Breeders' Cups, you think California horses have the edge. The Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Awesome Again are both naturally the most effective feeder races for this. 7 graduates of the Gold Cup, 7 of Awesome Again. Backwoods won the last 2 of these at Santa Anita, although he doesn't really have a horse of that quality this year, same quality of those two. Another interesting one, horses that ran at Saratoga and then at layoffs. 3 wins and 1 second in the last 4 years. I thought that was very strange. Saratoga layoffs. 12 euros have been in the money. And bad news for Mongolian Groom. Well, not bad. Not terrible news, but bad news. No gelding has ever won the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Right. Right. I forgot about that. That had been, I forget who it was that was the last candidate on that front when that was trotted out.
And then, of course, there's my, I'm going to give you 2 of them from the Philly and Mare Turf. One of them is my all-time favorite. First, I'll give you this one that I don't quite get, but it's just the way it is. Aidan O'Brien. One of the world's top trainers, certainly has the deepest turf barn of any trainer on the planet. In the Breeders' Cup Philly and Mare Turf, he is 0-13.
Yep.
He's had 2 seconds and 2/3. But my favorite, my all-time favorite, and I don't understand this in any way, shape, or form, but we talk about it every year, and I mention it all the time. California prepped fillies and mares in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf are 0-44 with 5 in the money finishes. 0-44. Now you're talking about some really fine turf trainers and some good horses over the years. California prepped 0-44. I had a bit of a question this year because What basket does Basilica fit into? Or Vasilika, however you want to say it. Is she a California prepped mayor, or is she, since she ran at Keene last time, do we call her a Kentucky prep?
Well, yeah, that's...
Just there's going to
be, yeah, know. No, I hear you.
I imagine if she's back training at Los Alamitos, and all her races were in California except for one, I guess we call her California prep mayor.
Yeah.
For stats purposes. Yeah. But anyway, I thought that was interesting, and some real, you know, throughout the guide. You got to remember, there are 14 races, and obviously the older races that have been around longer are going to have deeper histories than the more recent ones, and you're going to have more trends to give you information on those races. And again, you don't live and die with these trends, but they're, I want to know if I'm betting a favorite in a race where favorites haven't won, and you know, or favorite's overall record is not good. And in the guide, we give you the average win payoffs, all the wagering, win place show, exacta, trifecta, superfecta, what the average payoffs are in each division, each race. The guide's got a lot of stuff in it, and it's free, which is, it's free and it's worth twice the price.
Well, and Johnny, before we wrap up, a couple of notes, too. I got an email from our friend David Kaiser. David asking about paramutual states. That proviso has been dropped. It doesn't matter where you are anymore. You can get all of the guides, so you don't have to worry about that. You can download it from anywhere, even if you live in some ridiculous state like Georgia or Carolina or the Dakotas or wherever else, whatever other places that are not allowing paramutual wagering. And XPTV. We'll have Jeff Siegel again, of course, on Friday, and we'll reiterate, and including right now, you need on a daily basis, every couple of days, to go to XBTV, go through the workouts, just keep scrolling down, keep hitting more workouts. You're getting video from across the country and countless Breeders' Cup horses, you know, that are most likely just going to ship in and, you know, gallop into the races, but you can watch them prep from virtually anywhere. Palm Meadows, New York, Churchill, obviously all the California venues, but all of the workout videos. There was a whole slew of the Chad Brown workers from this past weekend that you can watch. So take advantage, xbtv.com, as well as everything that goes on and through ExpressBet.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Steve. I'm going to echo that as part of the process. Also, at ExpressBet, Jeff Siegel, who's now doing a Thursday podcast with Jeremy Plunk, as well as appearing on your show. So Jeff is now looking at the weekend, giving you his best plays and looking at all the stakes races. But also, Jeff's going to be analyzing some of the workouts on ExpressBet.com. He'll give you his written comments for some of the workouts, which if you're not used to watching workouts and you feel like, I don't really know what I'm looking at, learn. You know, you can learn. Just watch horses move. See how they go and see how the good ones move. And the other thing that XBTV is doing, Steve, to emphasize what you just said, they're going to match up previous workouts. In other words, XBTV can take a work, since they've got a library now, they can take a workout from last year's Breeders' Cup. Let's say a horse was preparing for last year's Breeders' Cup and show that workout side by side with one from this year. So you're going to get a real look at, you know, how this actual horse himself has improved or regressed You can actually see them for a young horse, to like a three-year-old to a four-year-old or a five-year-old. You can see how they've gotten bigger and stronger, and you can watch the way they move, and it's very interesting.
No, no doubt. And it, again, like Johnny suggests, the more you watch, the better you'll understand, and especially when you match it up to commentary, you know, from people that, you know, that visit with us, you know, like any of the, like Mike Welch and John Nichols and Gary Young and etc. So we'll do our best as always to get you prepared, Johnny. I appreciate it. And you know what, with Guy Torsiglieri standing by, Johnny, I'll ask, are you and Gail coming Saturday, Far Hills?
No, it's not on the roster this weekend. We've got, you know, it's like fall. They just jam all this stuff. It's like people realize, oh, winter's coming. We better do this stuff now. So we've got events to go to this weekend. But there are three things. It's a great event. Enjoyed it when we went. And that sport is just taking leaps and bounds forward. They have wagering now, which could have been a bit of a lure to me. But you can't make it. You know, see, there were a couple other items I wanted to sneak in here. You did a great job with people talking about Chile, and all the time I spent in California, got to know Chile pretty well. Great guy. And everybody was, I just want to echo their sentiments. Everyone was right on the mark. Also, Cheryl White, I know you've mentioned it here on the air. Cheryl White, jockey in California and a steward in California. She was the first black female jockey. She was the first female to win five races in a day. I think that happened in 83. She was on the cover of Jet magazine. Also on the cover of that magazine in the same year were Angela Davis, Muhammad Ali, and Sammy Davis Jr. So it gives you some idea of the company she was in. She passed away at 65. I guess a service this weekend, October 18th, at Thistledown, a memorial service for her. Her father was the trainer that she got into race riding. She was the queen of the Appaloosas in California. We crossed paths a lot. Last time I saw her was at Laurel for that the last ladies' race that they had.
Right, right.
Laurel. Yeah. And also one other gentleman who no longer with us, Dick Lundy. I know you mentioned Dick and talked about his passing. Dick was an assistant with Charlie Whittingham in California back when I was cutting my teeth. And he couldn't have been nicer helping me navigate my way through Charlie's world. You know, I was this wet behind the ears kid, afraid to talk to the venerable Charlie Whittingham, but Dick would give me the all clear sign when it came by the barn, or the get lost sign, which was reflecting whichever mood Charlie was in at the time. And of course, Dick went on to be a top trainer in his own right. Just wanted to mention those three people because I knew them personally, and they were in some cases good to me. In some cases, I just knew them. So both ways.
I appreciate it, and particularly the Cheryl White note, and we'll give you details too of that service at Thistledown.
How's Acton making out?
He's home. He's home, and he struggled. He made it through. He made it through, but it was a fight. So yeah, it was tough. Yes, he was. I knew he would get through. Johnny, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stevie.
Johnny D, everybody, XB, Johnny D will stay right here because listening in, as I mentioned, Guy Torsiglieri from Far Hills, the Far Hills race meeting on Saturday. It's going to be a nice day, a small, tiny percentage of chance weather-wise, I think just 10%, 10% chance they're calling it, but 62 degrees, mostly sunny. So it's going to be a gorgeous day in Bedminster. And Guy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And let's do our annual exercise leading into Far Hills. And I mean, we'll give everybody the details. The first order of business is, oh, my God, this is some card.
Isn't it? It's just absolutely amazing.
It's unbelievable.
We're so impressed, and we're just awed by it. It's the best we've ever had, clearly. I think we've got everybody's attention.
Well, you've been on a protracted campaign to increase the awareness, lure international participation, all leading up to the upcoming big anniversary. Talk about all those elements that we seem to touch on, and one domino after another falls when it comes to Far Hills, and of course the biggest element of this was the pari-mutuel wagering, that you finally got everything squared away.
Yeah, it was took us many years, as you know, to make that finally happen. This will be our second year for pari-mutuel wagering. We were pleasantly satisfied and surprised with our handle last year. It met expectations or exceeded them, and we expect, with their advertising and the fact that everybody knows about it now, to have an even better handle this year. We're doing a rolling pick five with Naira. It's not a cross country; it's a cross Hudson event, as they were joking. So it's going to be one of their stakes, three of ours, and then another stakes. They're going to bookend three of our races, so we're excited about that as well. But yeah, the card's just unbelievable. I mean, we just are blown away by it. I'm sure you've been looking at the entries. We had record entries. We had absolutely record nominations. It was just unbelievable. The big race is just, well, you've looked at it, right? It's just unbelievable, the horses that are in here. So many of them are capable of winning this race. We've got, I think, eight of them that are coming over that have never even started in America. And out of those eight, there's another one that's only had one start in America. That was last year, Jury Duty. He's coming back. So it should be a very, very exciting race.
Well, and just the Grand National alone, it's a seven-race card. The National goes off at 4:20 for the feature. And you mentioned the international participation, two from Gordon Elliott, two from Willie Mullins. And that, kind of raises the stakes, obviously. And you've got riders coming over as well. It's a seven-race card, as mentioned. And the Gladstone, 50,000, the Harris, 75,000, the PPAC, the Foxbrook, you're talking, 150, 250, 300,000, 350, 400,000, so $850,000 in purses.
You're pretty good with your math, yeah. 850 is the purse. We changed it up a little bit this year. We have a $50,000 flat race in here. We had 23 nominations for that. There's 12 of them entered to go, so it should be a great, great betting race. We're doing that to continue our relationship with the flat tracks. So there's a lot of crossover there and a lot of interest. It should be something special.
You mentioned, it's funny that you mentioned the flat, and that's the Hunt Cup, the New Jersey Hunt Cup. Why no timber race?
So a lot of people are asking me that. So we actually stopped racing it a couple of years ago, and we brought it back. And for the last several years, it has not been a great race. There's better timber racing in upstate New York. Geneseo has a lot of timber races there. And next weekend, down in Virginia, they have a lot of timber racing there. So for the last number of years, it hasn't been a great race. And we just thought, as we continue to grow and as we continue to gain the interest of the flat tracks, that it was time to make a change and to, we think, improve the card. And the entries clearly show it. You will get some people that are upset about tradition and so forth, but at some point you have to continue to grow and improve your sport. So that's what we decided to do.
And our friend Tom Herman is asking, too, with the timber obstacles removed, has it changed the placing of the rest of the course at all? Has it changed the configuration?
No, the hurdle course is the same as it was in prior years. All the timber fences have been removed, and the flat race is a mile and a half. It's set up very nicely. It starts clearly in the middle of the backstretch, and they'll make one and a half turns, and it runs on the outside of the hurdle course. So the hurdle course will be closed and beaconed off, and it'll be a big, wide, sweeping mile and a half turf race.
Very good. And we'll look forward to tomorrow's draw in New York. And, of course, it is the state bred specialty day. And so probably the Empire Classic and whatever other race they choose, probably maybe the Mohawk, one of the turf races that'll tie in with the three of the races at Far Hills. Let's give everybody, for those that haven't been, I mean, obviously those that have been coming forever, they know all the arrangements. What can we tell everybody with, as we always do, in terms of making arrangements and coming?
Sure.
And,
sure. I believe the Pick 5 is going to be our fourth, fifth, and sixth races.
Okay, that helps.
The Fox Brook.
The
flat race, yep, the New Jersey Hunt Cup, and then the Grand National.
Cool. All right, good.
And it'll be bookend with two races from New York. So we are a charity. We're a 501c3. We've given away over somewhere between $18 and $20 million to healthcare in the region. So we need everybody to come out and continue to support that event. Tickets are $100 for general admission, and there's still availability there. There's also some, we have some VIP seats that are still available, and we're actually getting some interest from some of the high rollers in the flat world that are actually going to come out for the day, and those tickets are $750 a piece, and we have a few more seats left there. It's in a private exclusive tent that holds about 100 people, so there's opportunity for everybody.
Well, and you know, for those that want any information, all you have to do is go to the farhillsrace.org website, farhillsrace.org, and all of the information you'd want under race day information, including the getting there, whether you're going to drive and you know, not traffic is not great. In and out, but it's not a big deal. You hang out and. There's a party everywhere you look. For those that are reasonable about traveling on train, and you couldn't have an easier way to get to Far Hills than New Jersey Transit.
Yeah, the train actually stops right in Far Hills, and it's a short walk across the road onto the property. So we have somewhere between 6,000 and 9,000 people that use the train. New Jersey Transit is great. They work with us to have all the trains going one way to get to us in the morning, and they all go the other way at night. So you can also get your tickets now this year online. You can buy them and print them at home, and just like you do a theater ticket or any other sporting event, and they'll be scanned at the gates when you get here. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to come and enjoy the day.
Well, it's a fabulous experience. And every year when we talk to Guy, you know, we just urge people, if you want to see what you know, the entire scene is like when it comes to the hunt meets, this is it. This is the, you know, they're all great. They all have their own, you know, particular flavor, but you know, this combines, you know, not just fun and conviviality, but you know, also the most important hurdle race of the year. And I suppose while we're talking, I mentioned to everybody earlier in the show, Gaia, the passing of Goodnight Shirt. And you know, a great Hall of Famer, and one of the highlights of his championship season in 08 was his Grand National win.
Yeah, he was a great horse. Everybody loved him, and he was he'll be sorely missed. Everybody really enjoyed him. I know Sonny Vaya's taking it very hard. That was the owner Really love that horse. So, but we will carry on. So, who do you like in the big race? I mean, I'm looking at this. It's great, isn't it? How'd you handicap this?
Well, I'm going to wait until I'm waiting for PPs. I've only got the overnight.
Okay.
So I got it, obviously, when it comes to having, when you got Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins invading, we got to, you know, take a hard look at Wicklow Brave shows up in here. One of the greats of recent years.
He just won his last three. So I think Mr. Gallo will probably make him the favorite or whoever's doing the handicapping that day or the odds that day. But it's jury duty's coming back. See if he can do it again.
Well, exactly. And then you've got all the various local runners that have had various degrees of success over the course of the year. Jack Fisher, speaking of Goodnight Shirt, I mean, Jack is just loaded all day long. What's the over-under on what's a side bet? 3.5 wins?
He's got Scorpioncer in there, who is a fabulous horse, and Moscato. I think he's got four horses in here, doesn't he?
He ended up with just Scorpioncer and Moscato.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Scorpioncer, Moscato. Aranistan's another one. I mean, he won his first four out, got hurt, was put on the shelf for a while. He's a beautiful. It's impressive. It's going to be a great race.
Well, and for those that that demand field size to get them to look at a card, you got 10 in the Gladstone, 10 in the Harris, 9 in the PPAC, 10 in the Foxbrook, 12 in the Hunt Cup, which is a flat race. I mean, all you're doing is basically, for those of you that like Kentucky Downs, you want to come look at the Hunt Cup, because that's what this is. It's a mile and a half up and down hills. Don't be intimidated. Then the Grand National with 13, and the Appleton drew 13 as well. It's an eye-crossing card. By the way, explain to people about watching the races as well, the streaming and that portion.
Yeah, so we'll have parimutuel wagering, and you can wager anywhere Monmouth Signal, because we've partnered with Monmouth, so it's Monmouth Park at Far Hills. So wherever you want to gamble around the globe, you can through Monmouth Park. And we're also live streaming it. You can go to our website, or the National Steeplechase website, either one, and there'll be directions and clicks, so you can sit home and watch it if you would like. We'd prefer you come out to the grounds, though, and support us.
Cannot be urged enough. It's going to be an absolutely glorious day, 62. Bring a light sweater, and we guarantee a fabulous time. And, of course, this before we wrap up, One of the key questions of this visit every year.
I'm not telling you. I'm not answering that question. You keep trying. Maybe one day I'll answer it.
But the tree has been selected.
The tree has been selected. There will be Christmas at Rockefeller Center.
and when will the public be graced with the announcement of the tree?
Early November.
Early November. NBC?
You bet.
I love it. Well, the first order of business for you is getting through Saturday. Anything else to let people know about? Anything else they need to be aware?
Well, I mean, from a horseman standpoint, the turf is just in fabulous shape. We've been watering it all summer. Looks like we're going to get some rain tomorrow. So the turf should be absolutely perfect for an honest, fair contest. So we're really looking forward to it.
FarHillRace.org, and we'll talk with Bill Gallo. We'll probably do some handicapping with Sean Clancy. Sean's got some River D runners in, and then we'll look as well at the cross the Hudson, as it were. You got to cover. Let me think. How many rivers are we crossing? We got the Hudson. We got the East River. So
yeah, if you're coming from Long Island, you got to cross two. If you're coming from your neck of the woods, I don't know, a couple of streams, nothing major.
No, a couple. Exactly. We got a couple of couple of tributaries.
Guy, exactly.
Thanks so much. I can't wait to see you Saturday.
Thank you. But yeah, thank you very much. We'll see you Saturday.
You got it. Guy Torsiglieri, everybody, and Far Hills. Looking forward. It should be. This is nuts. The card that came together. Gallo's got to be absolutely proud as can be. I mean, because a lot of work goes in. And, you know, sometimes it's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of luck, because you've got, you know, some horses that miss. You know, it doesn't take much, obviously, to same as on the flat to knock one out. But in some cases, some of the horses that couldn't make assignments, you know, over the summer and into the early fall, you know, they ended up being ready for this. So look forward to talking to Bill and doing some handicapping as soon as those PPs turn up. But the overnight, wow. Top of the hour, I knew today would whistle by because we had so much to do, and I still have more to get to, in fact. Let's take the time out here. John White will join us. We're going to look a little bit at the weekend at Santa Anita. We'll get his impressions of Honor AP. I think we'll get some early classic and distaff morning line thoughts from John. Back after this at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Where's the tiger? I found the tiger. Lost the tiger. I've seen the tiger. Where's the tiger? Oh, the tiger. Lost the tiger.
We're back at the races. A couple minutes in, hour three. John White swinging through. Tiger Rag.